Moving to Moose, Richard. This is also a briefing and public hearing.
Thank you, Commissioners. WAC 220-415-070, Moose Seasons for 2019. A quick review of the units that we currently hunt moose in, all in Region 1, all in Districts 1 and 2. We have seen some moose moving into other units. Just as a quick reminder, perhaps a bit of a detour, we do have the statewide moose auction does include some parts of Region 2 up in the Methow area and the and the Loomis area. And I believe last year that the auction hunter took a moose from that area. I'm not absolutely certain. But we've wanted it to limit to that because we really don't have a good enough handle on how many moose we've got in that area to open up specific seasons, but kind of use that auction as a kind of a information gathering device. And probably there are some very large bulls that are colonizing that area. But most of our hunting still occurs here in Region 1, Districts 1 and 2. So I want to first call your attention to 117, which we've heard about a little bit, and 121. We are proposing some minor changes in these two units, not based on specific survey data, but based more on sort of old-fashioned anecdotal reports we're getting from hunters and our own indications that the population is probably lower in 117, that's also called 49 degrees north, but probably doing still pretty well in Huckleberry 121. And so these are all antlered only permits that we want to decrease by a total of 6 in 117 and increase by a total of 8 in 121. Antlerless, also a little bit of an increase. Other than that, we are one other change. The Parker Lake Special Area, let me go back and show you a map of where that is. That's this little area here. That's an area that's controlled by the military that we have special authorization to hunt, but with their permission. And we've had, I believe, 2 archery-only and 2 muzzleloader permits in that area for the past few years. We've been told that there's going to be logging disturbance in that area that pretty much overlaps exactly where the hunting would occur. The concern would be that the moose may avoid the disturbance. There may be resource conflicts for this 1 year only. We're only talking about the 4 permits. We think that the hunters would probably not have a very good experience if they were to go in there this fall. That's the recommendation we've gotten from the military. So we believe it makes sense to take their advice since we're there kind of with their blessing. There was also some confusion in the wording since the Parker Lake Special Area is nested within 117. The wording left it a little bit unclear. Well, if I have a 117 permit, does that mean I can hunt in Parker Lake? The intention was always that no, only those with a specifically limited permit for Parker Lake can hunt there. But there was some. People can do funny things with wording, so I think we've got a proposed wording tweak that we hope will clarify that was always our intent. So here's the wording, and I think rather than take your time now, I think you can take a look and read this wording, and if you think you've got better wording, we're happy to entertain that for the final rulemaking in April. I forgot to put public response to this. I think you have it in your packet. I would summarize it by saying that we did receive more comments requesting us or proposing that we reduce hunting opportunity for moose in Districts 1 and 2 than that we keep it. As you will notice, we're not making very many changes. A lot of people are saying the moose population is declining. The department does not disagree with that. I think we know that the population is declining. 2 comments about why we're not doing more to reduce moose hunting opportunity. The first is that we actually did last year in District 2, just north of Spokane, our own data showed that our harvesting of cows was probably excessive, was was constituting a majority of the deaths among collared animals there. So we drastically reduced it there. We've not reduced it in District 1. And here's the reason. I don't think it would do the moose any good. Those who are proposing that we should be reducing our moose harvesting in deference to the moose population, I think are probably making an assumption that the moose population would ordinarily be somewhat stable, and that the hunting is something that can affect that level. Less hunting, the population might go up. More hunting, the population might go down. That may be true in a lot of cases. What I think we're seeing in the case of moose is a slow-moving eruption, meaning moose have been increasing for years and probably went right through their long-term equilibrium level and are now on a decline. Hunting is a relatively small proportion of the total mortality, particularly the antlerless portion of that. Moose are declining because they're in terrible body condition. They're declining because of ticks. They're declining because of wolves and other predators. We don't dispute that. But hunting is not going to be able to save that situation. In fact, I would be concerned that if we were to artificially encourage that moose population to stay as close to where it's been in recent years as possible, we probably would be doing future moose no favors, because those moose are hungry. They're probably already affecting their long-term browse supply. So If the accusation is that hunters are jumping on or exacerbating this decline for a few years, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Let's allow hunters to be part of this. And at some point, we'll probably have to back off when the population equilibrates at some lower level. We don't know where that level would be right now. Which was this? This one?
Okay, what are the green dots?
Good question. What are those green dots? I can't read them. Can anyone? I think they're just highway numbers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's just, this is a map that will be for the pamphlet, so I think it's just explanatory.
Why I ask on this, because we used to be a moose going through our part of the world with a big, big deal, and now they're not common, but they are seen there.
Yeah. Well, it sounds counterintuitive, but I don't think there's a logical disconnect between two things happening at once. We're seeing a decline in the core moose range, but that doesn't mean that there are still some moose who figure they want to go explore greener pastures, and they go south, and they go west for the most part.
Well, I couldn't read your map either, and I was going, well, maybe that's sightings of moose or something. So that's why I asked.
I appreciate that. And we continue to have the citizen science tool, which we try to get people to tell us what kind of moose they're seeing. We're focused, again, on the core area where we're hunting. We're not really focused on Southeast Washington, but we do get reports from there. And so we know that there are moose there. I don't think we're to the point where it would be a wise expenditure to institute formal surveys that would allow us to start hunting. There's a number of reasons why I think we're wise to hold off hunting in Southeast Washington at this point. Yeah.
Like I said, they're seen there.
Yep. Yeah. And I think even more so into Okanagan County, particularly with the recent burns, that's something that you would expect to, I don't want to use the word attract, but any moose that happens to discover burn is going to do well, and any pregnant moose is probably going to have babies, and so I wouldn't be surprised if we see an increase in Okanagan County over the next few years, contemporaneously with seeing the decline that we're seeing in Region 1, or Districts 1 and 2.
Okay, well, I couldn't tell what they are.
And that's what I have on moose.
Okay, any other questions? Hearing none. Thank you, sir. We have one public comment individual. If you'd come on up, Jerry Woods. You probably know the rules, 3 minutes, and Tammy has the magic buzzer, and thank you for coming.
Like you said, I'm Jerry Woods. I've been guiding moose hunts for the disabled and terminally ill since 2009, when the first one was issued. I guide in 124 North, and I've seen the moose moose numbers decline quite heavily in the last 3 years. The harvest rate up there is very high. It's about 98%. harvest rate in that area. But the harvest rate is not the problem. It's the predator rate. The bear rate up in that area is the highest it's ever has been. And I've been in that area since I was 15 years old. So we've got to do something about getting the predators down. The predators are the main reason for the moose going down, as far as I'm concerned. The harvest rate, it's going to stay the way it is. It'll decline somewhat, but not drastically. Secondly, the harvest of the moose on cow moose or antlerless moose, I would like to see there be a ruling put in that the calves can't be taken. In the last 4 years, I know of four calves, bull calves, taken because people just get tired of waiting to get a moose and they just take the first moose they find with antlers. And I'd like to see that ruling changed, that there'd be no calves taken on the antlers. That's all I got to say.
Okay. You heard him, Jerry. Okay. Thank you very much for coming, Jerry. Appreciate it. That concludes the wildlife part of the agenda today. Before we welcome the Reardon FFA folks to come up and work with us, does anybody have any thoughts? Mr. McIsaac?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of thoughts as we leave the aggregate of all the hunting matters and the public testimony this morning. And it just strikes me that as we move in this process between the March period here, we've heard all the staff proposals, we've heard the written public comment to that, we've heard a lot of public testimony, and we move toward April, and it's time to vote on something. What is the appropriate way to have some response, if the commission wants to be responsive to what we've heard? What I jot down in my notes is the overwhelming testimony that we heard here for those people that came to testify was that they feel like the population of ungulates is down, in particular for whitetail, and they feel that the abundance of predators is up, including cougar and bear, in addition to wolves, which I don't think is there's anything that would ever come up in April that we could do about that. So should the commission think of anything different to do in April that's on the board now for consideration? And I jotted down a few things that I'm not going to share here that might be possible options, but I thought I would just bring up whether or not the commissioners here feel like they would like to have any other options in April, and whether the director has any thoughts about whether or not the commissioners ought to have any different options in April. Mr. Inouye said that, the staff, their professional staff, has done their professional job and brought forward in January what they thought were reasonable changes. And the interface and the tension between what's an appropriate one-year thing and what's an appropriate three-year thing, that isn't a fine line, and that's up for some commission consideration of that. So I just thought, I'm one of the commissioners up here. I am still the rookie of the group. Until Jay Caney's replacement comes in, I still get to call myself the rookie. And so, and I'm certainly a rookie in the world of the wildlife stuff. And so I just thought I'd bring it up and see if the commissioners or the director felt like, and I'll just say this, I feel a concern that if we heard all of this overwhelming testimony and did not do anything different than we walked through the door with, it would make me a little uncomfortable. I'm not sure I know all the whole process or the rest of it, but it was pretty overwhelming and in one direction, and there was some pretty compelling testimony there, in particular the gentleman who said that he's out in the corral and he's got his two daughters next to him, and he looked over and saw a cougar 3 feet away that wasn't afraid to be there. You know, that, and a lot of that testimony about the possibility of of some terrible thing happening, and we heard all of that, and we didn't change anything we would do in April at all. That's a bit troublesome on the surface to me.
Commissioner Holzmiller? Well, I'll say something. Thank you. I felt a lot of empathy this morning from the landowners and hunters and family people, men and women. And I sometimes think that maybe we don't come to this side of the mountains quite enough to stay in touch with some of the issues that are of great importance to the public. I don't have a solution for this, but there was a lot of rhetorical comments made that I feel deserve more than just a passing glance, and I look forward to hearing from others.
I couldn't agree with Chairman, with Commissioner McIsaac anymore. And I think we better be braced, because I think tomorrow's just going to be round two, from what I gather, that we're going to have a whole bunch more of this testimony. As Mr. McIsaac always says, we're at the front table. I don't think we need to get down in the weeds and try and say anything specific. But on the flip side, it's our duty to chart a course going forward. And what we're doing with predator management became very aware today that we're not headed in the right compass course. I think we probably need to ask staff to come back with some answers or some suggestions. But just to keep walking down the road fat, dumb, and happy is not the way to do it. We've got to listen to these people. There again, this is my world. This is my side of the world. And we don't have the wolves that Northeastern has, but we're gaining quickly. The mountain lion issue is big. And as a rancher, I'm very concerned that if we don't keep healthy, and I love to hunt, so we've got to keep the hunting community alive and going. And there again, the minute those ungulate populations keep crashing, it's just going to put more and more problems on the domestic. And it isn't just the cow herds. I mean, we heard about them coming in and killing billy goats and miniature donkeys and everything else. And when you get to drawing animals in like that, that close to populations, you're just asking for problems. And there again, this summer, there's been too many. The mountain biker, the lady in Oregon, the little gal up here in Northeast that happened to turn around and put an arrow into a mountain lion 7 feet from him. You know, we're sitting on a powder keg, guys, in multiple ways. So there again, I agree with Don. We probably can't write the prescription, but I do think we need to Ding certainly point out to staff that the direction that we're headed is not working. And if nothing else, it isn't sustainable hunting. It isn't sustainable for these communities up north. We've got to come up with some answers one way or the other. So, no, 100% behind Don.
Mr. Thorburn.
I have a suggestion to make. I think we have a conference call on the schedule. Perhaps we could ask that one of the agenda items be some discussion, including staff's response analysis, look into. We heard today some concerns about enforcement's response, enforcement's interaction with the public. If we could look into that and hear about it as a formal agenda item on our conference call next week, to help us formulate. One of the considerations that really wasn't articulated, we have hunting of cougars that is limited currently by actually our policy that we maintain a stable cougar population, and we do that based on a density analysis of the population and a quota that's been set that, according to the biologists, is the amount of take that maintains a stable cougar population. Separate from that, we respond to cougar danger. And there is a policy, as I understand it, of zero tolerance for cougar takes of livestock and pets and misbehavior. If we could kind of get a report on exactly how we interpret that zero tolerance and how it's acted on. What we're doing really is doubling the number of cougars in this area that hunting would alone would allow, because we are having a lot of response to cougar danger situations. If we could have some discussion of that and how we are enacting zero tolerance in response to danger, but recalling that we do have these two separate ways of dealing with cougars, and could we... the concern that we're hearing is the cougars that are in the neighborhoods and in the yards and taking pets and taking livestock. That's really separate from hunting. And, you know, are we managing that in such a way that we're responsive enough to these very real public safety concerns in the community?
Commissioner Holzmiller, then Commissioner Graybill, and then maybe Smith, and then to the right, we'll move on.
But I took it 100% different, Kim, about zero tolerance. To me, I kind of come away feeling that it sucks to be you where you live, that to me there should be a zero tolerance.
Yeah.
If you have a lion coming in and killing stuff, to me, we should get hounds on that.
Yeah, that's
and good. Take care of it. No, I... But,
that's what I'm asking.
Okay, well, that's... But I didn't take your...
Okay.
No, I think there should be a zero tolerance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Commissioner Graybill.
Well, Commissioner McIsaac, you know, what really resonated with you was saying not the structure of these hunts, but rather the threats by cougars in this region. And also that's a concern of Jay's as well. And that's not something that we really... we heard about today, but we haven't addressed those quotas yet for this year. And I'm glad that Commissioner Thornburn had this discussion, because that's something we have yet to address. Obviously, we need to really look closely at these quotas within this region and find if they're appropriate. That's the hunting side. And then the other side is to be sure that we're clear of what the public is allowed to do to take action when their person or animals or their property is threatened.
Mr. Smith?
And most of what has been said I concur with. And I do think it's a good idea to bring this up as a subject on a future nearby conference call. There was one individual that did provide testimony, and he had a list and that of specific items that seemed rather rational when he was talking about it. So I think we should have a purview of that. And the one issue that I agree on with the zero tolerance as interpreted, now with you, Jay. See? You'll be right twice in one day. I agree with that policy as well, with a caveat there being that we are bound by state law by initiative that on the hound hunting, and I remember when that was passed. So, you know, initiatives are initiatives, and initiatives can come and they can go, but it is a state law that circumvents some of our legal ability.
And Mr. Kehoe.
Thanks. And I'll be brief. I know we have our students here waiting to put their presentation on. But I think the testimony that resonated with me today, in addition to the cougar situation and ungulate population predator was the dad that came in and testified about the youth hunt for antlerless and the proposal to remove that. You know, I think he's exactly right. You know, being the dad of the next LeBron James, you know, you get your you score your first basket, you shoot your first deer, and you're hooked. So I would like to see if there's any possibility if we could allow that, even notwithstanding, and I fully understand the concerns about the whitetail deer populations, but maybe look at and get a deeper dive and see how many we would expect to take with keeping that youth permit in place, and is also in terms of the timing issue. I think Commissioner McIsaac brought that. I'm not dictating, but I think that's a worthwhile analysis to have the staff consider and present to us. And if it doesn't make sense, then it doesn't make sense. But we're all about recruitment of young hunters, and if we can do that and still, not threaten the resource, then I think we should really consider that.
You're already getting a permit for a goat, so go ahead, Jay.
No, to build on what Bob just said, I think is really good, and maybe even if we have to tweak it a little bit as far as age, or it could be like their first deer. You know, if it starts, the numbers start creeping up where they'd be an issue, I think there's some flexibility there that a person could work with to get the kids hooked. You know, not that they start hunting at 10 and their first four deer they get to shoot a doe, but to get done what you're wanting to do, Bob.
Okay. Commissioner Baker, you can wrap up commission comment. Oh, the director next, excuse me. No, after Barbara, it may be director. Yeah.
Like I believe all of us, one of the things that really concerned me about today's testimony was not just the almost, I mean, everyone who talked to us about cougars and their losing their fear of people, and there was many people who asked us to reinstate a hound hunt. We can't do that, and it's just way beyond our purview. That is state law, although there are times when, for public safety reasons, we can go out and deal with a particular animal who's posing a particular threat. I don't specifically know the triggers for that, and I'd like to have somebody tell me. Also, it sounds like we're doing that here. I mean, if we had a quota of 30 and ended up killing over 60 cougars in one area, the other 30 were, I suppose, public safety kills. But I'd still like to be briefed on when and where that's appropriate, whether we can push that out any, and also when a private landowner can kill a cat who's on their property and posing a direct threat to their livestock. So if somebody could tell me that, either in the whole commission or maybe just me, if I'm the only person who is a little unclear, I'd like to hear that, because the idea that families who live in these areas who are kind of tough by definition can't let their kids go out and play in the woods, that's troubling.
Thank you. Director Susewind?
You told me it'd be a tough job. So I want to say first, we're hearing loud and clear from the testimony. It's not falling on deaf ears. And I've already scheduled some follow-up with some of the folks, so I'll make sure that everybody's truly, you know, well heard. And it's not just, you know, not just for the sake of hearing them. We're taking that information to heart. I also want to say that staff didn't come up with these recommendations lightly, and there's a lot of science on both sides. And best professional judge got here, and I respect and thank staff for doing that. We're never going to come up with a solution that everybody loves, so thank you to staff.
I'm also, I think we have to be careful. We heard a lot today that we really need to work on as an agency. Not all of it is hunting rules or hunting pamphlet issues. A lot of it simply isn't, especially how we operate our agency, particularly around damage or depredations or safety animals. So, and I do think we need to, you know, provide you, the commission, a better explanation of what we do and have done, or if we failed, where we failed and why, and what we've done to correct that. I'm a little concerned, frankly, on the timing issues, because we have a conference call, I believe, just on the 15th. And then we're back in front of this group, I was thinking later in April, but it's early April. Those dates are set because we need to know the answers so we can get rolling on hunting pamphlets and make sure we get our special hunt permits out and all that stuff, or allow people to apply. So I'm juggling all that. So my proposal would be we come back on the 15th, schedule some time to provide an agency response to what we've heard, not just today, but today and in public comment, answer some of the questions I've heard here, particularly around the cougar removal stuff. And then, and any changes that we might consider making as a result of that, I'm going to have to check in with council. I'm back to that time crunch, and it's not an excuse. It's just a fact that we have to live with. I think a big change deserves public comment because not everybody was able to be here today. And if we make changes, it could easily upset somebody else just as badly, and we need to know that. But in order to provide that opportunity, we hit the wall on our clock to get something actually done and actually have a hunting season. So we will balance all that. We'll make changes within the purview. I would suggest any changes that go beyond getting us to a pamphlet in the hunting season this year, we'll have to figure out a different path to get to those, but maybe we can do that too. So long-winded way of saying that I will follow up and we will be back on the 15th with some proposals and options and information.
Thank you, Director. Very good comments to wrap up. All right, that brings